Well, again, I want to thank you for making it out today to assemble together and worship the Lord together. And as always, it's always good to see everyone, especially our moms today, because, you know, it's Mother's Day. And as a friendly reminder, it's always good to remember to pray for and encourage those folks who aren't here today. Well, again, happy Mother's Day. Yay. You know, we want to express our love and our appreciation to all of the mothers and those who mother today. Think about that, you know. I hope you caught that well, because it seems to me that I have had many mothers in my life. And what I mean by that is, I mean, of course, those who have helped to mother me. And I'm not saying that, of course, to discount my birth mother, because, you know, hey, my mom was a good mom. I like my mom. I love my mom. She was a nice mom, you know. But there have been many teachers in my life, many neighbors and good Christian sisters who have been really motherly to me, who have been like a mom to me. Plus, my own wife has been a good mom to our boys. So I personally feel blessed, you know. And talking about moms in my life, you know, sometimes maybe she's a mom to me too, maybe, but she, anyway. Okay, anyway. At the same time, I'm also, you know, trying to understand, of course, that not everyone has been as blessed in their experiences with their moms, maybe, as I have been. And I know that Mother's Day can be kind of difficult for people, especially. Well, you know, there are all kinds of reasons why. I mean, maybe someone's experience with their mother has been less than desirable. And for others, it could just be a sad day because their mom is passed on. And then there are those who desperately want to be mothers, but that experience has for some reason eluded them. So Mother's Day brings with it possibly a bit of disappointment and frustration. Still, in spite of whatever difficulties that Mother's Day might bring, the Bible tells us that it's right to honor God's plan for motherhood and to aspire to be the very best mother that a person could be. And with that in mind, I thought I'd start with something that the late humorist and author Irma Bombeck shared years ago about Mother's Day from her personal experience. This is what she wrote. She wrote that for the first 4 or 5 years after she had children, she considered motherhood a temporary condition, not a calling. She said it was a time of her life set aside for exhaustion and long hours, and someday she believed it would pass. Then one afternoon, with 3 kids in tow, she came out of a supermarket pushing a shopping cart with wheels that just didn't work all right, you know, typical, when her toddler son got away from her. Just outside the door, he ran toward a machine holding bubble gum in a glass dome. And a voice that would shatter glass, he shouted, "Gimme, gimme, gimme!" And she told him that she would give him what for if he didn't stop it, you know, and get in the car. Well, then she continues, as she physically tried to pry his body from the bubble gum machine, he pulled the entire thing over. And glass and balls of bubble gum went all over the parking lot. And, of course, they had now attracted quite the sizable crowd. And she went and she scolded him and said, you know, that he would never see a cartoon again as long as he lived, and if he didn't control his temper, he'd be making license plates for the state. And after she said that, she noted that he tried to stifle his sobs as he looked around at the staring crowd. And that he did something that she said she was to remember for the rest of her life. In his helplessness for a quest for comfort, he turned to the only one he trusted with his emotions, her. And he threw his arms around her knees and he held on for dear life. She writes that she had humiliated him, chastised him, and berated him, but she was still all that he had. And she notes that that single incident defined her role as a mother. She says, "I was a major force in this child's life. Sometimes we forget how important the stability to a child is. I've always told mine," she wrote, The easiest part of being a mother is giving birth. The hardest part is showing up for it each day. I think that's true. It's true, you know. You know, Mother's Day is traditionally the day when children, try to give something back to their mothers for maybe all the spit they produce to wash the dirty faces off, you know, and try to get the hair all straight, and for all the gum that they've held in their hands, and for all the noses and bottoms that they've wiped, and for all the bloody knees and scraped hands and elbows that they've kissed to make feel better. This is the day that mothers are rewarded for washing all those sheets in the middle of the night, and for driving the kids to school, and for enduring all those football games in the rain. Today is Appreciation Day for making your children finish those things that they said they couldn't do, and for not believing them when they said, "I hate you," and for sharing the good times and the bad times. Of course, their cards that they're going to buy or make probably won't reflect it, but, you know, they're trying to say thank you. They're trying to say thank you, Mom, for showing up, for being my mom. And so God says, honor your mother in various places, in particular, over in Exodus 20, verse 12, is where we see that, to honor your mother and father, just like the scripture that was read this morning from Ephesians. I think that most of us would agree with the Bible that mothers are worthy of honor. And so what we're going to do today is to take a brief look at five different mothers in the Bible and try to get a picture of what made their mothering worthy of honor. And so the first picture of motherhood that we want to note today is that of Eve from Genesis 4. So Eve is pictured as the first mother, not Michelle Obama, but Eve, right? Eve in the Bible. Again, looking back, starting in Genesis chapter 3, verse 20, we see that Adam named his wife Eve, he says, because she would become the mother of all the living. So, think about this again. God created the first man, Adam. And then from Adam, God created Eve, Genesis 2, 21 and 22. And it's worth noting that Eve's name means living. And that's because Eve is the mother of all people who have been and who will be, really, when you think about it, to each and every one of us. She is our great, great, great to the who knows what exponent grandmother to us, right? All right. Now think about this. Eve was the first mother. Eve was the first woman to ever give birth to a child. Now think about that just for a little bit. Just for a moment. Think about that, the first woman to ever give birth to a child. You know, talk about what to expect when you're expecting. She had no clue. I just wonder what she and Adam thought when her belly began to grow. Gee, Eve, you eating too many of those pineapples over there. You know, what? And all of a sudden, the baby began to kick, you know. What's going on, you know? I wonder if she knew what to expect when it came time for Cain to be born. I wonder if she was afraid of motherhood. After all, no one had ever done it before. She was the first. I wonder if she knew what an important and influential job being a mother would be. Now, in looking at the picture of motherhood that we have here recorded of Eve, we see that Eve had three sons. She had three sons mentioned by name in the scriptures, Cain, Abel, and Seth. But Genesis 5, verse 4 tells us that Adam and Eve had many other sons and daughters, but the Bible focuses just on these three boys, especially on Seth, because it's from Seth that God's people come from. But now let's think again about Eve as the first mother. Eve was not only the first mother to give birth, but sadly, she was the first mother to experience serious heartache. She was also the first mother to lose a child. Just imagine her heartache when her firstborn son took the life of her secondborn son. I know that we don't like it when our own children fight, you know, and we worry about them. And I know that there are some moms here today who have lost a child. Poor Eve, you know. She really lost both sons that day because, face it, things would with Cain would just never be the same after that. And so since the time of Eve and the beginning of motherhood, mothers have given themselves to the raising of their children in the Lord. And so our mothers nurture us, and they provide for us, and they teach us, and they discipline us. And well, mothers have a remarkable ability to change the world one child at a time. So again, our first picture of motherhood is Eve. She is pictured again for us as the first mother, the first mother. And the second picture of motherhood that we want to note today is that of Jochebed. And Jochebed is pictured as the protective mother in Exodus chapter 2, as the protective mother. Now, just about everyone should know something about the circumstances surrounding the birth of Moses. If it wasn't from maybe the Ten Commandments with Cecil B. DeMille or something like that, just about everyone knows a little something about the things surrounding the birth of Moses. You see, it was during the time of Moses, when he was born, you know, that God's people were living as slaves in Egypt. And the Egyptian people and Pharaoh himself were getting kind of scared that the Hebrews were growing so rapidly in number that one day they would just rise up and take over and rule the world, you know. So Pharaoh, being Pharaoh, you know, he's the king there. He didn't want to, like, lose that position. Decided to control the surplus population by eliminating all the Hebrew baby boys as they were born. So, you know, Pharaoh didn't realize, though, that the Hebrew midwives that he asked to do this dirty deed feared God more than Pharaoh. And so they didn't obey Pharaoh's order to kill the infants as they were born. So by the will of God, Moses was born. And his mother, Jochebed, well, she protected him by hiding him for 3 months. Think about that again. Anyone who has ever had any experience with a newborn in real life knows that that isn't exactly an easy task. I mean, a newborn is pretty much doing nothing but crying and feeding and wetting 24/7 for the first couple of months. But Jochebed knew the alternative. Her son would be killed if word got out that he was born. So she protected him. She protected him by keeping him hidden. And finally, when she felt that she couldn't hide him any longer, she made him a little basket-type boat and floated him in the reeds along the bank of the Nile where Pharaoh's daughter took her bath. You see, Jochebed is desperate, isn't she? She's desperate to keep her little boy safe, but she isn't foolish. She's done her research, and she doesn't have the internet or a smartphone to look things up, okay? She knows just when and where excellent prospects for adoption congregate. She's checked it out. Still, can you imagine how hard that must have been to leave her helpless little baby boy floating in the river? Of course, she wasn't totally alone. God was with her. God was with little baby Moses. But Jochebed wisely also stationed Moses' older sister, Miriam, nearby to kind of keep a watch out on things, to make sure that Moses was okay, you know. Jochebed also told Miriam to do just certain things, you know. She knew exactly what to do and told her what to do so that when Moses was found by Pharaoh's daughter, things would work out. And so with God's help, everything went exactly as Jochebed had planned, as God had planned, and Pharaoh's daughter found the little baby Moses and felt sorry for him. And Moses' sister immediately approached Pharaoh's daughter and offered to find a Hebrew woman to nurse the baby. And Pharaoh's daughter, being Pharaoh's daughter, not exactly, in nursing mode and probably didn't want much to do with little itty-bitty icky babies, you know, suggested that she do just that. Go find that Hebrew woman and have her nurse, you know, the baby. So Miriam got Moses' actual birth mother, Jochebed, to become the nursemaid. And Pharaoh's daughter paid her to do it. Talk about a good plan. Jochebed's very wise. And so like Jochebed, all good mothers protect their children. And as we look back over the years, you know, throughout our recent history probably, or, you know, the circumstances are certainly different from generation to generation about what we need to do to protect our children from one culture to another. But good mothers, watch out for the safety and development of their children, just like Jochebed. Again, we could say that good mothers guide, teach, discipline their children, and good mothers keep their children from danger and harm. Without a doubt, there's a lot of trouble and evil in this sinful world that we live in, you know, that mothers need to do their best to try to protect their children from. So again, our second picture of motherhood is Jochebed. She is pictured for us as a protective mother. Well, the third picture of motherhood that we want to note today is that of Hannah. And Hannah is pictured as the supportive mother in 1 Samuel chapter 1. And you know, in all the Bible, there are few stories as touching as the account of Hannah and her little boy Samuel. You remember that Hannah was barren for many years. She couldn't have children. The Lord had not opened her womb. And she faithfully prayed that God would one day give her a son. And as she prayed and prayed about this, she even promised God that if he ever did bless her with a son, that she would dedicate him to the service of the Lord. Now, I know, again, that we have some women here who can relate to Hannah very personally. And I know that in many, many ways, God has blessed those people with children that have been brought into your life. And while you may not have actually given birth to these children, you mother them and you do your best to be an example of Jesus to them. Well, back here in 1 Samuel 1 again, in the course of time, of course, God graciously answered Hannah's prayer, and she conceived and she gave birth to Samuel. And just like she promised, when Samuel was old enough to be weaned, Hannah took him to Eli the priest and left Samuel to be raised by Eli in the service of the Lord. Now again, think about Hannah here. Here's a woman who so desperately wants to have a child, a little boy. And after years and years of faithfully praying to God for such a blessing, can you just imagine how hard it must have been for her to leave her young son to be raised by someone else? But Hannah did as she had promised, and she did what she could do to encourage and support Samuel as he grew up. You see, the Bible tells us in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 19, that each year Hannah made Samuel a new robe and took it to him when she and her husband, Elkanah, went up to offer the annual sacrifices. And, of course, from Hannah's exemplified prayer life, we can be confident that she prayed continually for her son Samuel. So for us, Hannah becomes a great picture of a mother being supportive of her child. Hannah gave Samuel to the Lord and allowed God to use him as he saw fit. And we should do our best to support our children the same way as they go about doing God's will. And for us today, we can see that good mothers support their children by engaging them in the Lord's church and by helping them with their education and by guiding their social development and helping them to reach their individual potential and dreams, you know. So again, our third picture of motherhood is Hannah. And she is pictured for us as the supportive mother. And the fourth picture of motherhood that we want to note today is that of Rizpah. And Rizpah is pictured as the devoted mother in 2 Samuel 21. Now, not a lot of folks know about Rizpah, but her story is one that pictures for us a devoted mother. Now, as chapter 21 opens, there's a famine in Israel. And it's a famine that's been going on for 3 years. And David is king at this time, and David realizes that this famine must be a judgment from the Lord. So he seeks out the Lord in this manner, talks to God about it. And as an inside, just note this, of course, you know, whenever we're facing troubles of some kind, it's always a good idea to ask God if this trouble is meant to maybe bring our attention to something that maybe needs to be changed, you know. Anyway, in our text, the Lord reveals to David that this famine has something to do with what Saul had done to the Gibeonites when he put them to death. You see, long before King Saul, way back when Joshua led God's people into the promised land, the Gibeonites had tricked Joshua into making a treaty with them. That's back in Joshua chapter 9. Well, some 400 years later, toward the end of Saul's reign, he broke the treaty and sought to annihilate the Gibeonites. So for that reason, the Lord brought a famine upon the land. Well, to try to make things right, David went ahead and he called the Gibeonites in before, and he asked them just what was needed to be done to make amends for what Saul had done. And this is back in 2 Samuel chapter 21 again. And so they requested that David hand over seven of Saul's male descendants so that they could execute them and expose their bodies out in the field till they, decayed, Now, as most of us probably remember, David had spared Saul's offspring when he became king. Okay. And he held an especially gracious attitude toward Jonathan's son Mephibosheth, who you'll remember was crippled in both feet from an accident with his nurse back in 2 Samuel 4:4. So in order to keep his promise to his good friend Jonathan, he spared Mephibosheth's life. Took care of him, let him eat at the table, all sorts of stuff. David took care of Jonathan's son Mephibosheth. So David went ahead and found seven other descendants of Saul and turned them over to the Gibeonites. Now, that is both good and bad news. And the good part of that is that David kept his promise. Okay. The bad news, of course, is that these men that were put to death were still the children, grown though they may be, of someone's mother. Okay. And two of these men who were executed and exposed out in the open were sons of Rizpah. And here's where the powerful story of a devoted mother comes shining through. Get this. This is 2 Samuel 21, verse 10. For the next 6 months, Rizpah stationed herself on the hill where the bodies of her sons lay there exposed as she watched over them. She didn't let a single bird of the air touch them by the day or any wild animals at night. She watched over them and made sure that their bodies weren't touched. Now just think about that. Can you imagine how hard it must have been, first of all, for Rizpah to lose her sons? And then on top of that loss, to have to keep vigil over their decaying bodies day and night for 6 months. That's a tough thing to do. You talk about devotion, though. You talk about devotion. She did all that she could. She went beyond what she could, possibly. She did all that she could. Because while she couldn't keep them from being killed, she could guard the dignity of her deceased son. Of course, her devotion to her sons didn't go unnoticed either, because when King David heard all about it and her persistent devotion, he gave her sons an honorable burial in the tomb of Saul and Jonathan, 2 Samuel 21, verse 13. You see, Rizpah's devotion is one that shows that good mothers stick by their children no matter what, no matter what, even watching over their children to the end, really beyond. Again, our fourth picture of motherhood is Rizpah. And she is pictured for us as the devoted mother. And our fifth and final picture of motherhood that we want to note today is that of Eunice. And Eunice is pictured as the instructive mother in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. So, just who is Eunice, you might ask? Well, I think most of us know who Eunice is. But just in case, she is the mother of Timothy, the beloved disciple of Paul, who of course, are both disciples of Christ, and Timothy is also a preacher and evangelist of both 1st and 2nd Timothy are written to. Now, from what we know, Timothy's mother was a Hebrew, and she converted to Christianity, but his father was a Gentile. He was a Greek, and as far as we know, he remained an unbeliever. So, 2nd Timothy 1:5 tells us that the faith that grew in Timothy was first in his grandmother, and as she mothered Eunice, grandmother's name was Lois, as she mothered Eunice, her daughter, and faith grew in Eunice, she passed her faith on to her son, Timothy. Okay? And it was those two important women, Lois and Eunice, in Timothy's life, who taught him to trust in the Lord and to love God's word. And later, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, Paul said this to Timothy. He says, "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy," see, who did he learn it from? He learned it from his mom and grandma, right? "You have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." Just think about that. You know, Timothy's mother and grandmother had taught him the Scriptures from infancy in both word and deed. Eunice is an incredible picture of an instructive mother, a mother who taught and trained her son in the ways of the Scriptures. Without a doubt, you know, mothers can play a very, very important role in leading their children to the Lord. And Eunice is a great example of this. You see, just as important as our ABCs and 1-2-3s is the fact that children should learn about God from their mothers. And mothers can begin by teaching their children songs to Jesus when they're little. Songs like "Jesus Loves Me" and, you know, "Jesus Loves the Little Children." And just think about it. Children should know more about the Lord than Barney or anything else. They should be singing songs about Jesus before they're singing about Barney or SpongeBob SquarePants or even the Itsy Bitsy Spider, right? And so moms, like Eunice, teach their children to love God and to love His Word, and they get them to worship in Bible class regularly. Okay, again, our fifth picture of motherhood is Eunice. And she is pictured for us as the instructive mother. And before Eunice, we mentioned Rizpah, the devoted mother. And before Rizpah, we mentioned Hannah, the supportive mother. And before Hannah, we mentioned Jochebed, the protective mother. And we started it all off with Eve, and appropriately so, as the first mother, because she was the first mother, right? And these are all mothers in the Bible that we mentioned today that are worthy of honor. Five wonderful pictures of motherhood, and we have God to thank for them. And for our moms, too. So thank God for our mothers, right? You know, the pressures of mothers today are probably greater than they've been ever. Just think about what's expected of ladies in our success-driven society. Think about it. You know, they're expected to have a career, and not just any career. They're expected to be successful in their career, all while being a mother, right? They have to keep the house spotless, and they've got to raise perfect children. They shouldn't get out of line at all, right? Plus, they're supposed to be a great cook somehow in all this, and they've got to manage to look like a model without being one. And they've got to be a charming hostess for whenever the husband happens to invite guests over unannounced, right? So it's difficult being a mother with all these expectations, and that's why I'm glad that we ourselves as a congregation have the Moms Are Us ministry that just wrapped up last week here, and prayerfully will start up again in the fall, that Virginia helps to lead, that really helps to sort out all those unrealistic expectations placed on mothers today. And so our goal today really is not to pile on more impossible expectations, but to affirm really the priceless role of a godly mother, and to encourage our mothers by expressing our appreciation for all that moms are and are doing, and to remind our moms that their source of strength and reward is God. Because we are what we are only by God's grace and through His power. And as moms and grandmoms and aunties, or whatever mothering role you play as to a child, we hope to encourage you today by affirming that your role as a mother is one of the highest callings there is. So never underestimate the influence of your example or your instruction or your prayers. And remember Proverbs 22:6, where we're told to train a child in the way that he or she should go, and when he is old or she is old, he will not turn from it. Well, by the way, we just started looking at Proverbs in the Sunday morning Bible class in the auditorium. So if you haven't been making it to Bible class, we'd love to have you. Of course, the hardest part of being a mother, again, is being a mother every day. Being a mother every day, because it never ends. never ends, you know. But as we work at mothering, we are to never lose sight of the rewards of motherhood, because godly mothers are rewarded with the respect of others who observe their godly actions. And godly mothers are rewarded through their many years with countless hugs and kisses and homemade cards and clay things and letters and phone calls and other expressions of appreciation. And godly mothers are rewarded with a sense of pride flowing through them when their children show signs of progress, right? Like when they do well in school, maybe on a spelling bee or on a sports field, or they graduate from high school or maybe even college, and especially when they obey the gospel by being baptized into Christ. But moms should also remember that the rewards for being a godly mother extend beyond this life, that God has seen and heard what godly mothers have done. And so, even if the rewards in this life may seem few and far between, godly mothers will be rewarded by our Heavenly Father on the other side. And maybe, just maybe, the greatest heavenly reward of all will be when you're walking down one of those heavenly streets of gold one day, singing God's praises, and all of a sudden you'll hear a familiar voice, the voice of your child, say, "Hey, Mom, thanks for helping me get to heaven." So today, if there's anyone here who is not yet a Christian, know this: your mom wants you to be in heaven with her and Jesus. So make the decision today to confess Jesus as Lord and Savior, and turning your back on your sins, repenting, be baptized in the watery grave for the forgiveness of your sins. You'll come up out of the water a new creation, the Bible says, and you'll no longer just be a son or a daughter to your mother, but you'll also be a brother or sister in Christ. Maybe there's someone else here this morning who has a prayer concern that wasn't mentioned earlier, or maybe a praise that they'd like to share. Whatever the need may be, you're encouraged to come forward now as together we all stand and sing a song of encouragement.